Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
All right, we are back. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are lucky enough to have our resident energy expert, Peter Kelly Detweiler, on the line. Hey, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Good to have you back so soon. But I had to have you back because of what happened in Spain and Portugal with their electrical system. 50 million people were without a power for 24 hours, right?
It was a pretty significant event.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay. They're not really sure what happened, and I figured of all the folks that we know, you might have a clue or at least give us an idea. I was listening to frequencies that were messed up. I guess the whole electrical system works in some sort of frequency?
Yep. You want to go into that for a minute or two?
Wherever you think.
Important. Yeah,
it is kind of important. It seemed to be the most important thing of it, yeah.
Okay, let's start with frequency. There, in a grid, in a power grid, you have alternating currents to move power. Basically, every second, you have a sine wave that alternates 50 times in the European grid, 50 hertz.
Yep.
We're 60 hertz.
Ah.
Okay? If the frequency falls just a little bit, things break. So, for example, during Winter Storm Uri in Texas, frequency is supposed to be at 60. It fell to 59.4 for about 4.5 minutes.
Yep.
Another 4.5 minutes, and Texas would have had a blackout across the entire state.
It's delicate, so, then.
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like a heartbeat. You got to keep it within the certain range. And because supply has to match demand all the time, if supply falls off, then the frequency drops. And if it drops and you don't restore it again, things break. Transformers break, equipment breaks. And so what happens is when frequency falls, power plants sense that and they often disconnect to protect themselves.
Oh, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, and that's what happened here is we don't know what the initial problems were. There were a couple power plants. First of all, like half the nukes were running because some were down for maintenance. There was a lot of solar in the grid.
Right.
There was a very thin interconnection with France. If you have more transmission from one place to another, you have more sort of resources to help you out. It's kind of like reinforcement shock troops, right?
Yep.
So the way frequency works in our grid today is if you have something trip like a power plant or a big transmission line, what happens is in a traditional power plant, you have these spinning, rotating masses of metal in your steam plants, your nuclear plants that boil water, your coal plants that boil water, or your natural gas plants that spin a turbine.
Yep.
And if you lose frequency really fast, for the first 2 seconds or so, you have this inertia from these rotating masses of metal. And what they actually do is they slow down a little bit and release energy into the grid that can then give the rest of the grid, these sort of shock troops, time to jump in. Okay?
This is the craziest story. The way you're describing this is just crazy. All right.
Okay. Well, that's how it works.
That's why you're here.
After those first 2 seconds, you have what are called primary frequency responses. These are power plants and assets that are always sitting on the sideline and are paid to be ready in case something happens.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
Then they jump in. Then there are other resources called like 10-minute spinning reserve, which means they're resources that can be brought up within 10 minutes and are synchronized to the grid as well, to the same frequency. So there's a whole series of shock troops, if you will, always lined up in the background. But what happened here was we have so much renewables in the system, there wasn't any physical inertia. Once the trips happened, you couldn't tell all these other power plants slow down and release this energy into the grid for the first 2 seconds before we can bring in the reserves. Now, So people have used that to say, oh, renewables are the problem. And the answer is no, they're not. Because
And before you go too far, Peter, I'm going to say I agree with you. They're not the problem.
Right.
It's always the ding-dongs who don't prepare for this type of issue that is the problem.
Exactly.
Always.
And that's what happened here. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
And we've had other instances. There was a blackout in Australia a few years ago where they had a bunch of solar and they realized, oh, we don't have enough inertia in the system anymore because solar and wind and batteries, they don't per se provide an inertia unless they're programmed to do so.
Yeah,
so,
there we go.
One last piece of the puzzle.
Mm.
Okay, in our grid today, you have alternating current.
Yep.
AC moves back and forth because it's been more efficient at moving power over distances since back in the days of Edison and Westinghouse. Edison was a DC direct current guy. Westinghouse was, nope, you can move it better with alternating current. Mm-hmm. Well, with wind and solar and batteries, they're DC, and they are connected to the grid with these things called inverters that convert the straight DC flow into the alternating current flow that our AC grid needs.
Yep.
What you can do is you can get smart, so-called grid-forming inverters, and they actually are smart enough to sense changes on the frequency in the grid. And especially with batteries, they can then inject that energy instantaneously into the grid to maintain the frequency if it hits the fan. Okay?
Yep.
So in Australia, after they had the blackout, they started putting in batteries that could do inertia. That battery that Elon Musk famously in September a couple of years ago said, if it's not built by December, it's yours, it's free in Australia. They actually programmed that to provide inertia. And now additional vendors are building batteries just to provide what's called synthetic inertia instead of, you know, spinning masses into the grid.
Yep.
So Spain, for example, now, Texas, for example, has about, let's see, what's the number right now? About 11,000 megawatts of batteries in their grid. Mm. And a lot of those can offer inertia. Spain has 60 megawatts. So about, two-hundredths of what Texas has.
Clearly, they didn't read the news.
Yep. Exactly. In New England, we have 1,800 megawatts of batteries, and there's 10 times that lined up in the queue that want to join and become, you know, energized. So it was a problem, but it was a failure of planning to anticipate, oh, we're trying to decarbonize the grid. We're bringing in all these renewables. Inertia is a critical piece of this. What do we have to do to make that happen? So you can either put in the grid-forming inverters and batteries, or you can create you can build these things called synchronous condensers, and what they are is they're power plants that spin, and they're not connected to load. They're just massive flywheels that are also meant to provide inertia in the system. So technically, it can be done.
Right.
From a planning perspective, it can be done, and in Spain, it wasn't done.
And that's the thing that drives me nuts, right, about all this stuff. And so people can say it was renewables that caused it. Somehow they didn't get enough juice to the solar and it really dropped. But the key is what you just described, which means whoever is stamping the approval on these actual implementations it tends to be the government, doesn't know how electricity works. I mean, this outage is a glaring example of whoever's in charge of Spain's electricity grid not understanding what you just described, and now the entire listening audience of Computer Talk with Tab understand a whole lot more about electricity that the people in Spain did not know who were stamping approved on solar. Am I right?
Well, yes. And just like with, you know, with the data world, at the end of the day, it relies on physics, right?
Right.
Current flows through chips and the chips do stuff. The whole grid, you can wish away all kinds of problems, but physics dictate what's actually going to happen.
Right.
And I'll be honest, you know, I'm a German major and then development economics. It took me a long time to figure out the reality of how stuff works on the grid, just because mm-hmm. I keep asking questions. Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? But
right.
you got to look at these things as systems of systems and understand if you pull this thread over here, you better watch out that these threads over here don't move, you know, and you have to really understand the logical and physical implications of the changes you make.
Right. And then, of course, the poor folks in Portugal who happen to just have an interconnect are the victims yep. of the outage, because that still affected their frequency when that whole massive amount went down in Spain. That interconnection actually backwashed the wrong way, right?
Yeah, because they import about 20% of their power from Spain, so they stopped importing. There's some tension between the two countries, and power prices in Portugal have just been soaring because they don't have the imports that they had a couple days ago.
Mm.
So they have some sorting out to do, shall we say.
Yeah, and they're probably pretty cranky about it as far as having Spain cause their outage, too. I mean, interconnects, when yep. I was part of the Board of Water Commissioners in Southington, are very important to make sure you can have enough supply of water. So if, you know, we connect maybe to Plainville, they can give us water when we need it in Southington, and that's a good thing. But if for some reason, yep. we have a problem with our water system and backwash it into Plainville, I would assume Plainville's systems are designed to prevent that type of backwashing from happening, because we're supposed to protect that on our own sprinkler systems, where we're not supposed to have that siphoning occur back into the water system based on a sprinkler system. It seems as though the electrical grid is just still not there as far as who are the folks that are running it. Don't really understand how it works when you can have the whole country go down like that. It's just mind-bogglingly shocking, and you've explained it very simply, Peter, and I knew you would. So I appreciate you being on the program. We're going to keep reaching out to you, and if you ever have anything you want to talk to us about, typically when it comes to crypto, we had a story about Kuwait and crypto. Kuwait's going to stop the whole country from mining crypto because it uses so much energy. I'm sure you have a thought on that as well here in America.
Yeah, when the Chinese pushed crypto out of their country because they didn't see it contributing a lot of economic value, basically a lot of those miners headed straight to Texas because it was easy for them to permit and build,
yep.
and they created an enormous initial flood of demand in Texas that now other data centers that are actually, to my mind, generating not speculative value, but real value, you know,
right.
AI data centers and so on, that now comes into the mix. But yeah, there's the whole crypto thing and how much it consumes versus the value it adds to society and jobs it creates and so on is certainly an interesting conversation. I have some decided views on it.
Sounds good. Well, we'll have you back on that then as well. But I didn't want to take you up all hour. I wanted to just have you explain this to us. And I do appreciate you coming on the program this morning and helping us out, Peter.
It was my pleasure, Eric. You take care.
All right, you too, sir. All right, Peter Kelly Detweiler, our resident energy geek. And, of course, you can follow him on LinkedIn. We'll have all sorts of links for you to follow Peter.
Yeah.
He does a great regular video to kind of explain energy to you. And, man, I understand energy a lot more when I talk to Peter. So we'll be right back. Yes, Mother's Day is tamale. Hope you've got something planned for your mother. Otherwise, it will be hell to pay. But we're going to be here to help you with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And let's go on to your calls. We're going to go on to John in Monroe next. What's happening, John? Hey, John, you there? John, you there?
Well, yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. Maybe, whatever you listen to, you might have turned that
radio,
down.
So I guess I was off on the timing. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
I recently updated to Windows 11, and now I've got an issue. It's working fine, and my printer's working fine, but I noticed a message that says my memory integrity is turned off,
mm-hmm.
part of the core isolation. So mm-hmm. I tried to turn it on, and I found out that Windows 11 was having an issue with my brother printer drivers.
Yep.
So I contacted Brother. And they said, oh, just install the software, turn on memory integrity, and then reinstall the Brother software. So I went through that process, but it didn't work. I uninstalled the Brother software using their utility, and I tried it several different ways, and unplugging the cable and so on and so on. When I tried to turn on memory integrity after the printer was gone, it still came up with an issue with the Brother printer drivers, as though they were still there. I reinstalled the new software or the current software and got the same message, won't turn on. So Brother at this point said, is your printer working? I said, yes. They said, okay, it's Windows 11 problem.
Right, right.
So okay. Windows, so my question is, do I have to wait for Windows to fix this? Is it something else I should be doing? Is it something I should just ignore?
Ideally, Windows should fix it. Here's the thing. You've got a, there's a driver that was left behind, okay?
Yeah.
A driver file that Windows is finding, and it's, it says, nope, I can't run memory integrity because of the existence of that, okay?
Yeah.
Now, what happened is you uninstalled the original drivers with Brother's utility, but Brother's utility didn't remove some relic of that driver somewhere on the computer. They probably told you that they did, but they didn't.
Right.
Okay. What you will have to do, the only remedy, is to go back to uninstalling the printer driver, because I know you reinstalled it again. You're going to have to uninstall it, reboot the computer, then look for that specific driver file on the computer, the one that it tells you is not compatible, and delete it. Okay, that's all you got to do. Problem is, it's probably going to be in a system location. So when you delete it, you're going to have to use the command prompt elevated as run as an administrator. Which means you're going to have to use the DEL command and then just put the whole path of the file after that and let it go. And then you should be able to reboot the computer one more time. Then reinstall your drivers, and you should have memory integrity back.
All right.
Okay. I know it's a lot of work, but that's kind of what you have to do.
Or you can wait until Microsoft fixes it.
or until Brother goes through and comes up with another driver installer that cleans up itself properly.
Right.
Either way, you're the victim of Microsoft and Brother refusing to talk to each other.
All right, John.
That's it. That's where this all came from.
And there's no way I can contact Microsoft and say, hey, can you take care of this? This is something they have to discover and decide on their own whether they want to handle it.
They may have support for it, but they're going to tell you what Dennis just told you.
That's what they'll tell you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope that helps you there, John. We're going to step out for a quick break here to get to the news. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. And Carolyn's been putting out the Mother's Day music, and we appreciate that. She's running the program here. And let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to David in Vernon, who wants to talk a little bit more about electricity, I guess. Now, we're not the experts. Peter is. He's not with us, though. But go ahead, David. What would you like to chat about?
Good morning, gentlemen. Good
morning.
2 points.
Yeah.
The first one, why do solar panels need an inverter on every single panel as opposed to one inverter when the excessive energy that's produced goes back onto the grid?
I do not know.
I'm just curious about that.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind
that's
of,
not us.
Yeah.
Next time you talk to him, you can ask him. That's
all right.
Fine.
Okay.
I don't care.
We will.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Second thing is, I think that that short interview that you guys just did should be sent to every legislator, governor's office, and every, I'm serious, every representative of PURA, in Connecticut, not only Connecticut and not only in New England, but also the Northeast, including New Jersey and New York, because there's two things. First of all, it was beautiful, the way he described everything, simplistic. And the second thing is, if everybody's received it and we have a problem in the future, they've all been put on notice.
Oh, that doesn't matter. Come on. You saw how they ran the pension plan for 45 years. Putting our legislators on notice is utterly useless, obviously. But I do agree with you that they should be at least educated when it comes to energy, because it's what he described was, like you said, very clear, very, very straightforward. And for folks who wanted to deal with renewables, fine. Now, here's the issue that worries me. Is trying to make our grid resilient to this issue where you need that inertia. How much is that going to add to our public charge on our electric bill, right? This is the other problem with this cost for this renewable energy. So, you know, I agree with you. Feel free to share. Our stuff is recorded. Obviously, we have podcasts everywhere. If you'd like to share the interview, you are welcome to share the second hour of Computer Talk on May 10th to whichever legislature you think will listen. But we never hold them accountable because they still show up in our legislation every year. So it's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
You got it, David. But I appreciate your positive feedback on Peter's work. He is definitely an expert, and we don't know what we're talking about, so we may as well get somebody else.
Yeah.
I know what I don't know most of the time. So let's get Gary on the line from Vernon and see what's going on with him. Hey, Gary.
How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I attempted to install Windows 11. I have an i7-8700 with 32 gig of RAM. It's about 4 years old.
Okay.
And everything seems to point to the fact that they cannot find, I believe it's the TPM.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Now, what we did was we removed the hard drive, cloned a SSD drive, because the hard drive was just too darn slow.
All right.
And everything works fine.
Okay.
But I can't do this. Is there any way to acquire that TPM?
On a four-year-old computer, you don't need to acquire it.
It's
you need
there.
To enable it in BIOS. And
we attempted to do that, and we could not get that to light up, if you will, for lack of a better term.
That's a fair term. That's weird.
Contact the manufacturer of the computer.
Yeah. They've been on, the TPMs have been on these machines for a long time.
Yes. Yeah, it's not a new thing. I mean, it's a new requirement that Microsoft is imposing just beginning with Windows 11, but TPMs have been out for, what, almost 20 years now?
Yeah. Trusted platform.
TPM 1.0 goes back a long time. What's needed now is 2.0, but that is even 10 years old.
Yeah.
I have done something wrong when we cloned the hard drive to the SSD drive?
Nope.
No.
It's on your motherboard. No. It's in your BIOS.
It's on the motherboard. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the TPM is a piece of hardware.
Yeah, so if you don't know where it was, you may not have lit it up. So if you're thinking it was in the Microsoft operating system, that's not where it is.
No.
Okay.
No. We went into the BIOS.
Yep.
And we tried everything, and we could not get it to light up.
So basically, it was usually just an on-off type of thing.
Well, I don't know what you changed in BIOS, and I have to warn you that some of the manufacturers, the way their BIOS menus are, the way everything is, things are not laid out intuitively.
Right.
Even the wording can be a little odd. And you might not even see the words TPM or Trusted Platform Module.
Right.
It might go by some other name within that menu system in their BIOS.
In the BIOS, we found Trusted Platform Module.
And you turned it on.
It was grayed out. We were not able to.
I would think there's something up that you're missing, like maybe a step prior. Because so if you figure out the manufacturer of your motherboard, you might be able to even find a YouTube on this particular issue. Because you and it's a 4-year-old computer, I can guarantee you
it's there.
It's there, and there should be a way to turn it on as well. It's a step you're missing.
There may be some other BIOS setting that also has to be enabled
first
before you can then engage that particular setting.
So
I don't know what that is because not only that, I mean the way BIOS is managed in these computers is as Eric put it, not intuitive and it's not plain language.
The old days of American Megatrends. So you got to go find out the manufacturer of your motherboard. Now is it a known manufacturer of the computer itself?
Yeah, Lenovo.
Lenovo.
Oh, all right. You probably should go to Lenovo. At the very least, go to their website and see if there's a way to turn that on.
It should be right in their instructions. This should not be a block for you, Gary. You shouldn't have to do it. Okay. Now, Lenovo is made in China, so maybe they don't want a trusted platform
module
on it.
Mike G just pointed out something.
Yeah, of course he did. He's the best.
You may have to enable something called Secure Boot. In BIOS.
Yeah.
And that might be what I'm thinking of
as the other step.
Enables some other features.
I believe we did that, but I can't. I'd have to go back.
All right.
And look.
Well, it's just a suggestion anyway. Yeah. It may not actually pan out for you.
Right.
I'm going to look up some information about Lenovo specifically and see if we can find out something for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. All right, Gary. But we're going to guarantee you that you're going to get this to work. Because the machine's too young, and there's really no and you have a TPM on there. So unless you got it fell off a truck and it cost like, $150, that would be the only reason it wouldn't work is because it's literally missing something. But that doesn't make sense to me.
Somebody told me the other option is to simply reinstall Windows, but if it's on the motherboard, why would that
do
anything? The thing that's telling me it's got to be hardware is the fact that that option to turn on TPM is grayed out in your BIOS menu.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all below Windows, so...
You did move the operating system to a new drive. Did you activate Windows?
Yes. Oh, it's been working fine for the last year and a half. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, no problem at all.
All right, so we're going to try to find you some tips here. There's got to be some switch you're missing in the BIOS, or two switches or so, that should get this to work. You're welcome, Gary.
Marvelous. You guys take care. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. It's one of those things. I actually had to power wash my Chromebook a couple days ago. I mean, my wife's up there trying to use it to pay some bills, and the thing wouldn't boot. It was in a boot loop. Talk about a horrible, it's worse than a blue screen of death to be in a Chromebook boot loop. Oh, you got an answer?
I got a setting.
Yeah, so hopefully, Gary, you're listening.
There are two settings in BIOS, okay?
Yeah.
One is security chip type, and that has to be made... are set to TPM 2.0, and then security chip itself can be enabled.
Ah.
I'm thinking that might be the other setting that I'm thinking of.
Then
Mike G is correct about secure boot. That might affect it as well.
So three settings to get this to work.
But I'm still going to post in this article here.
Yeah.
It's for one of Lenovo's laptops, but it may... have the same kind of BIOS logic that his computer's got. Okay.
Sounds good. So in my Chromebook story on the power washing, for no reason, the operating system is in this boot loop where basically you could bring it up and then you could try to get into the operating system and then it boots back to a black screen, literally looping for no reason. So I have to go through this crazy keyboard combination to force it to back to factory fresh, Dennis.
Huh.
Now, thankfully, there's nothing on a Chromebook other than apps, and there's no local data, so it doesn't matter. And once I did that, I was able to work again. But how it got scrambled is beyond me. So this Chromebook has been nothing but a disappointment. The apps are not quite what they should be, and now you got the TikTok challenge. So it's everything I can do to resist sticking a fork in it. But that's for other reasons. But it's just been a nightmare when it comes to the operating system. But it's called power washing. That makes literally no sense as far as a thing. What does water have to do with a?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. So I figured I'd just tell you that little story. All right, we've got a little bit of time here. I want to bring up this quick little news article. So we've been on calls with insurance companies, cyber insurance companies, about this issue. And, of course, the cyber insurance folks hate it when I bring this up. But here's a story. April 16th, and I never got to it. Guess what happens when the ransomware fiends find your insurance policy? Well, basically, the ransom increases by 3 to 6 times, depending on how much insurance you have. They actually jack up the ransom when they detect you have cyber insurance, a study highlighted by the government in Netherlands has found. So it doesn't surprise me. And believe it or not, from what I understand, there's actually a place where these bad guys can go to see if you're insured, some sort of free service that tells folks whether or not you carry insurance. And they can actually go ahead and log in and say, okay, Acme Company, I wonder if you have cyber insurance. Oh, you do? You're a good target. Why? Because you're going to probably pay my ransom. So it's one of those double-edged swords where the bad guys are hoping you're insured, and it's an age-old problem, right? If you have health insurance, the cost for your medical service goes up. If you have car insurance, the cost for your car repairs go up. If you have ransom insurance, the ransom goes up because they are going to get paid. So we'll put the link up here for you. You can read it and weep. But it is the fact. Yes, we are the insurance capital of the world. But, man, you should hear the guys that are on the phones with me when I say this. Oh, Eric, you're not. What are you talking about? I'm telling you, it's real. So I'm not telling you not to get the insurance either, because not having the insurance in place and having somebody to cover your costs would be also a bad idea. But it'd be nice if we could hide it from the bad guys.
Yeah.
Don't make it a service. We're going to step out for a quick break and get to your calls. This is Computer Talk. 4 lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. And Dennis has been posting everything live, so you don't have to remember the links that we bring up. And, of course, Mike G posts everything to our Facebook feed over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. If you'd like to join that group, you may. The reason we have you join is because we don't want a bunch of spam to be hitting you through the other reasons that are out there. So we just confirm you're not a crackpot. And we can't confirm all of you are not crackpots. We assume most of you are not crackpots. But we confirm that you're on there so that you're not going to spam our members. And you can actually ask questions within there. I know Dennis is very active, and there's a couple other very active members too.
Oh, yeah. There's some people in there that they'll post questions, or they'll try to give other people advice. It's really great.
So, and the links are there as well. And of course, if you follow us on X, you can get the information there too. And of course, we are podcasted. So if you want to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcast, but obviously we'd prefer the Odyssey app, you can do that as well. So Dennis, we have 4 lines wide open as we wait for calls. What do you got for news? You want anything else you want to bring up?
Google made an announcement about something they're going to be doing with Chrome.
All right.
They're going to be building in some AI code into Chrome.
Yep.
That is going to look for tech support scams. And this is when you'll be using your computer and all of a sudden you get this full screen telling you that you've been hacked,
or your
computer has malware. And sometimes you'll even have a voice telling you to stop using your computer. Don't shut it down. But the bottom line is there's a phone number that they want you to call.
Right.
And of course, the people that are at this phone number are going to help you to clean up your computer or unlock it or whatever horrible thing that they've told you was going on.
After they lighten you $350.
And of course, they're just scamming you.
Yeah.
And you don't want to call that number. Whatever that number is, do not call it.
So Chrome's going to be smart enough to detect
Chrome is going to detect this in advance before it actually loads on your computer.
That's cool.
And it's going to use local AI processing instead of cloud AI.
Interesting.
So that it makes the decision quicker. That is one of the problems with this.
Wait a minute. Are you saying the cloud is slow, Dennis? And local computing is the future? Wait a minute. That's completely... Go ahead.
Okay. If you put in too much logic that evaluates links before you load them and it's doing all that processing elsewhere,
yeah,
that slows down the loading of web pages, which annoys people and makes them use a different browser.
Gotcha.
So Google is doing the smart thing and trying to do something nice for people without then pushing them to use a different browser because it's too slow.
By using your own CPU and RAM and memory.
Right. And it reads just what is coming in from this link, whatever that URL is, rather than evaluating it from a cloud perspective. It just saves a lot of computational havoc.
It just reminds me of how the old antivirus used to work, where you would be inoculated, right? You bring down all the different strains of all the viruses that were out there. It'd be on your local machine.
Right.
And when it detected that strain, it would then prevent the virus from infecting you. But you had to have a very large library of all that information, right? But then they said, well, let's put it in the cloud so you don't have to have all, because it would slow down the machine as it ripped through trying to figure out.
Right, and it would also take up space and yada, yada, yada.
It sounds like we're going back to that method. Yeah, it's interesting.
Kind of. At any rate, these tech support scams are something we talked about. Yeah. We also mentioned a few months ago that Microsoft is incorporating something similar into Edge.
Yep.
And that should already be rolling out right about now because they announced it just a few months ago.
Yep.
Well, Google's going to be doing the same thing to Chrome in another few months. So that'll be nice.
And again, a way to prevent it pretty much entirely is if you configure OpenDNS and you're on a safer internet and to begin with, you'll have a lot less lower chance of even being delivered these scams.
You'll have less chance of getting it, but you won't be impervious.
No.
Because the scammers have changed their tactics, especially over the last year or so, and they're using virtual machines out on the internet that they've somehow compromised.
Right.
And these are machines with host names that, you know, OpenDNS or any other filtering service doesn't know right away are loading malicious code. And it unfortunately takes them a little while to get wise to the fact that there's now a bad domain that used to be a good one.
Right.
And then they'll lock it down. But definitely your chances of getting these things are greatly reduced using a web filter like OpenDNS.
So, all right. Well, thanks, Dennis, for that. We'll put a link up to that story, and maybe Chrome is going to help us out.
Yeah.
Let's go on to Frank in Portland, who thinks he's got some solutions for our printer problems there. What's going on there, Frank?
Good morning. Yes, I had a similar problem to the gentleman who called in, and I recall that after going through that same scenario he did, that I had a previous Brother printer attached to that PC. When I used the Brother's utility to remove all the previous drivers, it seems to me that they had a choice in there that you could actually put in the model of the printer that you had. I did that. I put in the model of the previous printer, and that solved the problem.
All right. Hey,
that's
loaded
great. Things back up again. Everything worked fine.
That's brilliant. So you're like, okay, Brother, I'm gonna beat you at your own game, and I'm gonna actually remove a printer that's already in your mind gone.
Right.
That's
fortunately,
that's
I still
next
had the
level.
Model number of the old
right.
one.
Right. As long as you know what the right model number is, you'd be all right.
Right.
Yeah, but that's crazy. That's crazy, Frank. But I believe you. But that even the fact that you had to do that, that Brother utility is so poor. It should actually remove all. But it doesn't. It actually leaves the old. That is interesting.
Yeah, I assumed that was the case the first time I ran it, but apparently not.
Well, that is a very interesting approach, and wow.
Yeah, very smart.
Yeah, I hope the guy, if he is a Brother fan, remembers any old Brother printers he had. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Frank.
Another thing quickly.
Sure.
I have never been on Facebook before. I got a Facebook ID, but I went to join the Computer Talk Listener Network.
Yeah.
It says pending, and it's been that way for 2 months. So I don't know if I don't know if I've been deemed a crank or what.
Not generally. We usually turn that stuff around pretty quickly.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
In order to prevent people from just on the fly creating an account to get in and then spam our members,
right?
We put in Facebook has an option where you can force people to be users for 6 months before you let them in. And we have turned that option on because we did find, at least Rebecca, who works in our office, found that it keeps out some undesirables, which is why we're requiring this membership in the first place.
So just hang on, Frank. You'll be let in.
We may be, it may be possible for us to let him in without that.
Okay. All right.
Without that. Well, I'll look in. I've got to talk to Rebecca about it. She's our Facebook guru, so she'll know how to get it done. All right.
That's why we did it.
I can get into Facebook, all right, and look around.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Just joining the.
Well, that's why there's that 6 month barrier.
You're just a new user to it, so lots of the spammers will just create accounts.
There are actually bots that create new Facebook accounts all the time.
Right.
And then they'll try to get themselves into groups and spam them. And that's what we're trying to stop. And that's all that's about.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry.
Don't take it personally then.
Nope. Don't take it personally.
Please don't.
It's just the technology.
That's not what it's about.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Frank. All right. So there we go. Another couple hours of your life. Chewed up by Geek Talk. We appreciate you guys joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. And because without you guys calling in, Dennis and I would just be talking about our kids and his cats. I want to thank Peter Kelly Detweiler. He is a co-founder of Northbridge Energy Partners. And he talked a little bit about what happened in Spain and Portugal. Of course, that's recorded. And send it to Pura folks. Maybe they can understand how electricity works and lower our bills. So we thank him for being on our program. We want to thank Carolyn for producing, as always. We want to thank Mike G for posting everything on Facebook and X. And I thank Dennis, of course, for posting everything while we're doing the show to ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
We will see you next Saturday.